Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Jim Swanson to the broadcast. Jim is the Chief Information Officer of Monsanto, a $15 billion agricultural company. Prior to joining Monsanto, Jim worked at Merck as Vice President of IT for Global Human Health and Vice President of IT for Merck Research Labs. Prior to those roles, he worked in other IT roles at Johnson & Johnson and SmithKline Beecham. Jim was awarded as one of Computer World's premier 100 IT leaders in 2015. Jim attended Drexel University, where he received his Bachelor of Science degree in Bioscience and Biotechnology, as well as his Master's degree in Computer Science. I recently caught up with Jim in his office near St. Louis, and our conversation covered world-class IT Principle 1, people, as we discussed the evolving skill sets needed within IT and how that has affected the recruiting process within Monsanto. Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how IT works with other parts of the organization to develop and implement digital plans. We also discussed the digital revolution occurring in the agricultural industry more generally speaking, his career path through multiple organizations specializing in intellectual property rights, and similarities he's seen across several industries as an IT leader, as well as a variety of other topics. This is Peter High. Please consider reading my new book, Implementing World-Class IT Strategy, How IT Can Drive Organizational Innovation. The book covers topics such as the CIO as strategic facilitator, the development of IT missions, facilitating corporate and divisional strategy, the development of IT's own strategic plans, the development of enterprise architecture, reviewing, refreshing, and communicating strategy, and several other topics, all told with stories from leading CIOs from a variety of major corporations. You can find it at Amazon.com, my publisher's website, Wiley.com, and at your better bookstores. Thank you very much. Jim Swanson, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here, Peter.
Jim, I thought we'd begin with your role. You were the Chief Information Officer of Monsanto, and I wonder if you could take a moment just to kind of describe your role as Chief Information Officer.
Sure. So I have responsibility for all the IT systems and data that spans Monsanto. We are in about 67 countries worldwide, and I have responsibility to deliver on the IT capabilities across that global footprint. Monsanto is comprised of two and now an emerging third segment. One is our crop protection business, so our chemistries that help growers with herbicides, pesticides, et cetera. Our second is our seed and trait business, so in corn, canola, soy, vegetables, et cetera. And our third emerging area is agronomic services, where we provide information to help growers better improve their yield, improve their outputs, reduce their inputs, do it more sustainably. And so as the CIO, I have responsibility to enable all three of those segments with data, tools, and capabilities for our business.
That's great. And you operate in the world's largest and oldest industry in agriculture. To the uneducated outsider, it may seem ironic in some ways that there's actually a real digital revolution that's happening within agriculture. And you've just begun to describe some of that and how that applies across the three segments of the business. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about the move from analog to digital that's happening within Monsanto and the industry more generally speaking.
Yeah, it's actually pretty exciting. So we're taking an industry that's probably done it the same way for hundreds, if not thousands of years, and actually over the last half decade or so, really digitizing the farm and digitizing agriculture, which is actually pretty exciting. And if you think about, there's about 7.5 billion people on the planet and growing to 9 billion in a relatively short period, growing the amount of food we need to grow and doing that sustainably is a really important mission that Monsanto has. And we're going to need every tool that we have to enable that. We need information, we need science, we need technology. And what's happening on the farm is we're leveraging data and information and insights to provide much better ways that we can do agriculture that's ever been done in the past. So we connect combines in the field so we can collect real-time information on how they're performing in the farm. We use analytics and data to better get insights into the performance of our products as well as sustainable agricultural practices. We internalize and digitize our internal processes so we can connect more effectively across the ag ecosystem. So it is rapidly evolving with sensor technology, with data, with insights that is really transforming the way farming is done and having tremendous impact on yield output, reduced input, and again, more sustainable agriculture.
And how tech-savvy are growers? Do you find that adoption is happening readily? Is it readily apparent as to how important and how valuable the new tools that are now available can be?
Yeah, you have a different mix of growers. And again, we provide services to growers all around the world. And so you have certain segments that are highly mechanized, such as in the U.S. or Brazil or Argentina. You have others that it's small growers in small plots of land that are not very mechanized, but are truly looking for better ways to farm and have sustainable as well as profitable farming practices, like in India, West Africa, Indonesia. And so you have a mix. Growers typically are like scientists. They will assess everything. They will test it on subplots of their field. They'll look at to see if they get a better output. And so they're always testing and they're naturally curious around what's going to have better output for them. And so as a scientist that they are, as well as business leaders, as well as strong agronomic folks, we're able to work with them to help understand and grow their thinking around how they can apply technology. Certain growers are very advanced, where they provide a lot of sensors on their field, their combines are already connected. Others are experimenting. But what we've learned through this process is this experimental process is iterative, and we continue to evolve with them. And since we're great partners with them, we can learn together, and what works, we do more of. What doesn't work, we iterate and evolve and make it better. So it becomes a great way to continue to advance an industry that's been around for thousands of years, but really take technology to the next level, and growers are adopting it when they see it works.
As you contemplate the topic of digital and how it's applied at Monsanto and then applied to growers ultimately, what encompasses the various functions that are involved in digital? How does IT work with other parts of the organization in order to develop the digital strategy or the plans or ultimately the solutions or projects that make up the digital changes that you've begun to describe?
Yeah, we've been spending a lot of time with our executive team, with our business leaders, really understanding and defining the impact of digital across our enterprise. So you think about things like a smart and connected supply chain. How do we connect information and data coming from our research plots or our contract plots into the manufacturing plant? From the manufacturing plant, optimizing our production of products and getting them to the farmer with tracing and tracking capability and really connecting our ag ecosystem of our products. So with that understanding, a simple example is we put sensors in the back of our semi-trucks that move product from the farm into our manufacturing drying plant that allows us to track the product anywhere it is in that process. It allows us to understand if a certain semi-truck is getting hot, which means I can lose that truckload of product. I can actually provide real-time dashboards and information analytics to our plant managers. So at harvest time, you get miles of trucks lined up in a queue. They now have real-time data to say that some truck 3 miles back is getting hot. I can move that product to the front of the queue, offload it, and not lose any product or lose any yield. So just a simple example of the value of digitizing supply chain with high impact for how we run our business. The same thing's true on our research side, as we use information and analytics to better predict what hybrid's going to perform better in the field and really do that in an in silico way, so it allows us to assess the value of that product before we even need to put it in the ground. And it allows us to make early decisions, which allows us to do this more sustainably and accelerate our time to market and our product set. Same with our commercial side, where we look at how do we reach our growers with real-time information when they need it, where they need it. So we do things with small farmers in India and West Africa with simple SMS text messaging that allows them to ask questions around if they see disease on their field, what's the best commodity price I should sell at? Is there other ways that I can improve my practices using technology and information? It's a way we can touch our customers that we've never been able to do before by using technology to enable it. So we've been showing throughout the whole company how digitization of our business impacts our business productivity, impacts our customer value, impacts our revenue, as well as allows us to positively disrupt the way we think and operate to improve and accelerate to getting our really important products to the marketplace. And that really has taken hold within the company and has given us a great platform to enable and grow the digitization of Monsanto while we still try to do digitization with our growers and enable their goals.
Can you talk a little bit about the skills that you're looking for among your IT colleagues? You've been in IT for quite some time, but among a variety of brand name companies. We'll get into a little bit of your background in a moment. But I wonder, in your time in IT, how have the skills that you're looking for evolved? It strikes me as we're going through the discussion of the various innovative ideas that you and your team, in concert with other divisions of the organization, are bringing about, that it requires really non-traditional IT skills in order to not only derive these ideas, but also to bring them to life. Can you talk a little bit about the way you've thought about recruiting and the kinds of skills that are becoming particularly important among IT colleagues?
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a major focus for us. One, I fully believe in diversity. Diversity of thought, diversity of backgrounds, diversity of cultures, mindsets. Diversity is a real cornerstone as we think about bringing innovative ideas and being able to execute on them. So as a result, I have a whole mix of talent and skill set in my organization. I have deep PhD scientists. I have data science and modelers. I have strong engineers that understand how to build microservices and APIs. I have a very strong operational group that knows how to deliver on managed services and capabilities. And we're always working with the external community to help educate the type of IT roles that we need in the company, whether it be our work in open source, and we contribute to that in many different ways, whether it be work with STEM to help people better understand the value of technology and bringing that in, whether it be with my business partners bringing in, let's say, an R&D scientist into the IT group or a commercial person into the IT group, because they'll bring some real world information and data around how technology can be applied. So I mix that skill set with the skill set of both traditional IT as well as emerging IT. And together, that diversity creates tremendous impact to shape strategy, communicate in an effective way, and then deliver on this iterative approach, this more agile approach to continually iterate and learn. And so that becomes kind of the cornerstone of the skill set. I've also talked with our HR organization around trying to embed IT and data expertise in every role we have in the company, whether you're a breeder, whether you're a marketer, whether you're a manufacturing person, whether you're a finance person. We need a base level of data and technology in each one of those roles if we really want to harness the value of data, insight, digitization, and they become not only advocates but leaders in that space. So not only enhancing the IT organization inside and outside, but also enhancing the skill set of the entire enterprise, because that combination actually allows you to accelerate in very fast ways that we of the technology and information and be able to leverage that across the company.
You've been at Monsanto for a little more than 2 years now, Jim, and I know that you've focused on kind of developing an internal brand for IT, changing the way in which IT is has traditionally been thought. We've already, I think, covered a number of ways in which you're at the, if not the cutting edge, and certainly towards the leading edge in terms of IT's contribution to value. Can you talk a little bit more about the internal brand migration and development and some of the activities that you've undertaken to ensure that IT sees itself in its rightful place as a member of the business?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So one of the first things I did when I started here was actually bring in an external marketing firm to help us really understand what's the identity of IT for the company, what's our North Star that we want to aspire to. And I kind of joke with my organization all the time that we're really good at solving problems, we're good analysts, we're good engineers. We're probably the worst communicators on the planet because we just don't have that skill base in our traditional training. And so getting some outside help to actually think about what's the brand of IT. So whether you're in operations running our cloud-based infrastructure, whether you're an engineer developing some asset for a grower, whether you're a business partner, IT person working to help shape demand, what's the North Star that we're going to anchor IT to? As a result of that effort, Monsanto at the end of the day is a yield-based company. We're trying to increase the yield, reduce input costs, increase output, and drive that more sustainably. So if we're a yield-based company, think about the power of unlocking digital and digital yield for our company in all that we do. So if you're an operations cloud-based person, compute person, then how do you unlock the value of real-time compute for a IP innovation-based company? If you are working with the business and shaping demand, how do you think about the power of technology to reshape business processes and leverage data to create new insights? If you're an engineer, how do you unlock the value of digital so that the tools that you work are highly usable, highly consumable, and provide new capabilities to increase productivity, as well as customer value. And so that has been a rallying cry for the IT organization, and we've been using Unlock Digital Yield as the top of our mission statement and our strategy. Underneath that, we build off of it. So IT delivers the digital platforms that allow that unlocking of digital yield. Underneath that, we do it across our core processes as well as our work with customers and growers. Underneath that, we create five value pillars so we can assess the value of that digitization, and that includes operational excellence, business productivity, customer centricity, revenue enablement, and disruptive innovation. And then the base of that pyramid is what we do with our people, our internal folks, as well as the partnerships that we create to create the kind of value we want to sustain for the company. And so that simple phrase of Unlock Digital Yield has the top of the pyramid with a big base of capability under it, but allows every single person in my organization to have a line of sight to the value they can bring for the company, for our growers, and to shape the ag ecosystem beyond even our core products and into adjacencies and other opportunities.
Great examples throughout, and it's certainly extraordinary the degree to which IT seems to be at the heart of so much of the innovation that's happening within the organization. How do you encourage your team to develop customer touch points? I know a lot of your peers as CIOs are in unfortunate situations or perhaps are not taking the bull by the horns and ensuring that their team has access to the ultimate customer to understand how technology is being used, where it delights, where it does not, where are there new opportunities. You talked about adjacencies to in areas that the organization isn't yet involved with from a technology perspective, but should be or could be in the mind of the customer. In an industry and in a company that is as complex as yours, as geographically dispersed as yours, how do you ensure that your team has that insight from the customer?
When we think about digital, and I give five pillars of what I think digital is. First, it's relentless focus on the customer, understanding your customer and understanding what their needs are. That's the first pillar of being a digital company. The second one is process model, process innovation. You should not just be automating old way of thinking. You need to be thinking differently around how does technology change your process and change your operating model. That has a lot to do with my IT folks bringing with our business folks together so that we can have processes that are very different. Third element of being digital is automation. So you automate those disrupted processes so you can streamline them. Fourth is data and analytics. You apply data and analytics in everything that you do so that you drive the insights and be predictive rather than being reactive. And the fifth is about leadership and culture. So how do you influence and change the mindset around how digital can disrupt your businesses and drive the value you're looking for? So those are our definitions around digital. Now, what I expect from my people is, one, a little bit of courage so that they're able to get out there in front with our business partners and with our customers so that they can actually help shape the thinking. They're no more important than a commercial person or a marketing person or a breeder, but they're equal importance because of the domain they have and the insight they can bring with our commercial leaders or our R&D leaders or our supply chain leaders. So having that courage is important. Second, I remind my team all the time that we're stakeholders in this company. And so as a stakeholder, we have got to understand the value we bring to our customers. We have to understand, are we giving them service and capabilities that help them do their really important practice better and more effective? And that should be an anchor for us as we think about the investments we make, the strategies we apply, and the impact that we have. So understanding that customer center, understanding that we are an equal stakeholder in the success of our company, and we're an IP-based company, so we have to continually innovate. Otherwise, we don't exist. And then having that view of courage to put yourself out there and actually help shape the thinking. Those are the kind of the anchor points I look for my people to do, and I incent them in that way as well so that we are actually can carry that forward in the most effective way possible. So those are kind of how I bring that together to ensure that people can actually have the impact I want them to have, and we can work with our business partners as partners to actually shape the future of not only Monsanto, but the ag ecosystem we're trying to have a positive impact on.
You spent most of your career prior to the period in the past 2 years in the pharmaceutical and healthcare space, companies like SmithKline-Beecham, Johnson & Johnson, Merck. You obviously had a tremendous depth as a result of your experience in a few different major players in that industry. And this was a bit of a switch, needless to say, not only of company, but industry for you. I wonder, how did you prepare yourself as you took on this new challenge? You know, what did you read? Who did you speak with? How did you think about the transition at this point in your career?
So I started my career as actually a bench scientist, and then I went back to school in a master's for computer science after I saw how much technology and IT I was doing in the science space. So for me, I have a passion between science, IT, and really IP innovation-based companies. I've been my whole career in those type of settings, and I really enjoy that mix and balance of science and technology and impact. And so, although I was, if you would have asked me 8 years ago, would you have ever been living in the Midwest and moved into agriculture, I would have never been able to forecast that. With the exception of the fact that I always try to keep an open mind around opportunities where I could have transformational impact in a company or an industry. And when the opportunity came from Monsanto, I did my own research on the company, and I really found, once you do your own research in the company and what they're really about, tremendous impact we can have in a really important segment of the world, which is providing sustainable food. I think it's really important, just like why I was in healthcare, it was really important for me to actually have an impact on improving human health or human life. And so the mission was there that was important. When I met with the company and met with the leaders, I saw IT was really important, that IT really mattered for the company, but they really were looking for how do we get IT to be a step change for us. And for me, that was a tremendous challenge as well as an opportunity. And it met my criteria of really being an IP innovation-based company. They're the leader in their segment by far. And it was just a great opportunity to apply IT and science in an emerging transformation area around digital ag that was just too good of an opportunity to pass up. So as hard as it was to leave an industry that I truly loved, it was really neat coming to another industry, which I'm learning still, but I love working in it. Really exciting opportunity to have IT have any impact. And I continue to grow as a result. And we're growing the IT leaders for the future in this space as well. So it was just too much of a perfect storm not to take advantage of it and jump in with both feet. And it's neat kind of learning different industries, but there's more similarities than not. If you think about IP-based industries where you really need to innovate, there's a lot of similarities you can apply from different industry segments that are really important.
I'd love to actually dive into that just a little bit further. What did you find to be sort of universal moving from one industry to another? And where do you see some of the nuance moving from the companies we talked about in the healthcare pharma space now into Monsanto?
Yeah, so there's a lot of similarities, again, around patent exclusivity. We have, you know, your patent runs out and you have to continually innovate. We're highly regulated industries, and so there's a lot of similarities there. It's global, and so there was a lot of similarities between the different industries. And, you know, when you think about an IP-based company, scientists are scientists, you know, whether you're in healthcare, whether you're in agriculture, whether you're in other industries, and they're naturally curious. They're skeptical in that you got to prove that it has value, and then they'll believe it, but they're naturally curious, and they're always thinking about how do I get that next level of innovation. So I found a lot of similarities between the industries when I made the move, and that was, for me, a very positive observation. And as we continue to evolve in the space, what excites me is the technology that we're applying. We're using big data. We're using real-time analytics. We're doing big things with IoT, not only modernization of plants, but we're actually doing at the farm level, both with our research areas, with our supply chain areas, but also what we're doing now with growers. We have information and capabilities that I've only dreamed of in some of my other jobs, and we're able to accelerate the impact of IT across a really important segment. So for me, that's been really exciting, and we're looking at leading-edge technologies, we're applying them, we're taking an agile approach to it, we're constantly iterating and evolving, and we're learning, and we're contributing back in things like open source. We're contributing back in our efforts in STEM. We're contributing back in some novel ways that we work with everything from the White House initiative around STEM research to what we're doing in things like hackathons and an open hour coding is where we work with schools to actually teach students how to code. And so it's been really neat to kind of come into this industry and get the breadth and depth we're able to do and then apply that technology across the segment.
We've talked about a number of trends, the most important one being digital, and I really like the five layers of definition that you put to that. Are there other trends that particularly excite you as you look to the future, things that you and your team are beginning to investigate that you think may grow in importance as you create your plans for 2016 and beyond?
Yeah, and I think in addition to digitizing the environment, which allows us to unlock the data, we're making big investments in decision science and analytics and predictive and prescriptive models. So I have a group enterprise level around decision science that allows us to take what are our key decisions that we need to make internally in the company. So if you think about what we do with growers, there's about 40 grower decisions they make every harvest. How much nitrogen to apply to the soil? How much water? What hybrids to plant? What's the commodity going to be? Price going to be? Do I do corn? Do I do soy? Do I do something else? We're taking that same concept of what we're trying to provide externally with our growers and apply that internally. So what are the key decisions I need to make on which products to progress in the pipeline? What are the key decisions around how much products and where around the world do I place in front of my supply chain? What's the best way to reach customers and give them the best insights they need? And so we're applying models and we're applying data to those insights to be in front of our decisions, not behind them. And so that's been a big step change as we think about applying those models across all key aspects of our decisions in the company. Second, I think this evolution around Internet of Things, this evolution around connected information, well beyond just Monsanto's four walls and how we look at our adjacencies and how we shape the ag ecosystem becomes really important as we think about linking data, linking technology, up and down the food supply. I think there's opportunities there that we can help connect and provide the information capabilities that help improve our ag ecosystem beyond just the domain that we're in. So I think that's exciting to see. And I look at all the different startups and other companies that are trying to evolve. So we spent a lot of time with the venture community. We did about 150 reviews of different companies. We did 30 proof of concepts last fiscal year. We applied 5 different emerging technologies in whole different areas of our business. And we continue to do that and evolve that with small companies and with large companies. And we have the opportunity to shape technology and information, not just in the ag space, but even more broadly. And so we're actively engaged in that as well. And that also gives us new insights. It allows us to disrupt our thinking and apply some different ways to think and do it at scale and at speed. That's one of the biggest challenges and opportunities. Can we do this iteratively, not in years or months, but in days and weeks? And that's kind of the mandate we're trying to drive towards. It allows us to have a continual learning environment and continue to shape our thinking based on that next set of learning we're able to realize. So those are some of the not only the trends, but I think where IT is going and where it can go, if companies are willing to embrace it, could have tremendous impact for growth of those companies. And those that don't, my fear is that they won't exist, because I think technology and information will just be too important to the success of any company in any industry. And so we're taking that very seriously at Monsanto and really drive that agenda.
Great points, Jim. And it really, I think, highlights the degree to which technology trends and business trends have intersected. There's now so much value at the intersection between IT and a variety of different disciplines, as you've highlighted throughout our conversation. But with that, Jim, I'd like to thank you for joining us on the forum on World Class IT. It's been great to get your insights about the digital revolution, perhaps, that you're driving and leading in many ways at Monsanto, as well as to understand a little bit more about the arc of your career. So thank you so much for a great conversation.
Thanks, Peter. I really enjoyed the call.
You've just listened to a podcast in a series we call MetaStrategies Forum on World Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the forum on World Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to MetaStrategies' 5 principles of World Class IT. The 5 principles are as follows. Principle 1 is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people doing the right jobs at the right time, it'll be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will become stuck in reactive mode, consistently fighting fires. If systems and hardware and networks and so on work reliably, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It is important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and QA, through to support and all other aspects of IT, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important then that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business that it is a part of. If the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming a crucial weapon that organizations are employing, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com, and please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metastrategy.com. And our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.